Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, you can be turned into a chapter we've never taught out of ever, Hebrews chapter 11. Because it contains the only verse that I kept hearing. I had a little time this afternoon to get quiet and listen. And he could bring up anything he wants, you know. And I'm asking him specifically about this service and you that are here and you that are watching by the internet. And it's a little bit surprising, but it's not, because we're in a season right now where we're transitioning from knowledge to believing. For years, I didn't really understand the difference between that. And it has to do with a renewed mind, see. The actual transformation, it says in Rome. Now, we're going to go to Hebrews 11. He may have me talk a while before you get there. See, but the transformation of a person is not just the new birth. Thank God for the new birth, where that is instantly done in your spirit. But the real transformation, where you're no longer like the world. See, right now I'm thinking about Alan's message this morning, which I thought was a perfect 1-2 punch. I'm so glad I stole all of his scriptures. Thank God, you know. He does that to me almost every time. But it's the perfect 1-2 punch because, you know, in the first one, I'm really emphasizing God in you and operating beyond the gifts, where it's like Jesus. What would you have me do for you? Because everything's available. And that's, well, if God is in us, absolutely that's the case, right? But see, then Alan comes along and he's exactly right. You got to grow into that because that's love. But if you don't ever mature into love, which is 1 Corinthians 13, and you're always going to be walking carnally and God using you by the gifts. Well, thank God for the gifts. It says covet earnestly the best gifts, but yet show I you a more excellent way. And I loved how Alan said that. He said, now how many of you would go to a seminar titled, Come and Learn About the Less Excellent Way? But there are seminars like that all the time. How to, you know, it really is. Anyway, that's not the message. But yes, back to, I see it, Romans 12:2. See, be no longer conformed to this world. I'm going to say it a little different. Be no longer a church of nice people with no power. Okay? That's a little bit, hopefully at this point, I'm not dealing with people trying to get rid of fornication and adultery and, see, you know, would you please stop stealing, you know? Hopefully we're beyond those kind of things. Where he's trying to get us now is beyond what normal church has been in America and really around the world forever, practically, in our lifetime anyway. And again, I thank God for the gifts. We've seen the gifts. I've seen many of the gifts operate through Pastor Dave, and I'm so glad for that. I've seen gifts operate through other people. He's actually done it a few times through me. That's hard to believe, but he has. But that's not where he wants us to, that's not where revival lives. That's not where we're going. It's never been where we're going. So the real transformation, see, be no longer conformed to this world, not even in the church world. Nice people who go to church that aren't heavy into sin, but yet they still have no power. We want to be transformed from that, right? So be no longer conformed to this world, but be transformed. And that word, that's the word metamorpho, however you pronounce it. In Greek, metamorphosis. Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Not just know it, prove it. Remember the guy that had oxen? He said, I need to go prove them. I need to find out if these things are any good. Well, the world needs to know that Jesus is very good. And we need to be the ones that prove it to them. That's what it's talking about. Well, so I used to think it's a renewed mind. It's being born again is great, but the real transformation where you no longer walk like the world is by the renewing of the mind. So for years, I thought the renewed mind was knowledge, and knowledge is important. We could just give a ton of scriptures about growing in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. On and on and on. We could give verses. But knowledge is good. I don't want to diminish the gifts. I don't want to diminish knowledge. But even a mind full of knowledge is not a renewed mind. See, it's not, your mind is not really renewed until it bows to that knowledge. That's a renewed mind. Where you no longer know it, you do it. See, that's a renewed mind. Well, he's bringing us from knowledge. How did he say it earlier? The transition right now is from knowledge to believing. Where it's not just something we know. It's something that we live. It's something that we do. So, the verse, I still haven't given you the verse. Romans 12:2 wasn't it. But it's Hebrews 11:11. And then we're going to back up a little bit. This is the verse. And I'm glad there's quite a few women here tonight. Because we do preach about Abraham all the time. And we give him the credit. And because the Bible gives him the credit, you know. And Abraham was strong in faith and gave glory to God, you know, not being weak and fully persuaded that what God had promised he was able to perform. We do that all the time and giving Abraham credit. And we should. But see, Abraham can't have a baby by himself. No matter what the Me Too movement says or whatever, you know, the cancel culture of today. Takes two, see. So this verse specifically honors Sarah and her faith. It's Hebrews 11:11. And this is the one I kept hearing out on the porch praying, getting ready for the service. See, it says through faith also. Now, if you underline, that is so important. It just got through talking about Abraham. We're going to look back here at Abraham in a minute. But through faith also. See, her faith was as much involved in this as his faith. And I'll go one step farther. If she had not have gotten her faith involved in this, Isaac would never have been born. Both of them had to believe the word of God. Through faith, also, Sarah, and I like how it says herself. This is a personal pronoun. It's zeroing in. This girl, this woman, herself. By faith, through faith, she received strength. Anyone want to take a guess what the Greek word is there? Yes, you are correct. It is dunamis. She received power, strength, to do what? To conceive seed. Wait one cotton picking minute. Didn't we read back there that it was past the time of the way of women with Sarah? Did not we read back there that she herself was about 90 years old? But her faith, okay, I know you're going to like this now. Your faith, her faith, changed her body. That was a great message. That right there is worth coming. If you get it, that right there is worth coming. Now listen, her faith did the impossible. Even modern science today, as far as I know, when a woman is past the time of the way of women, now they could do things through artificial methods, but as far as I know, I've never heard of a woman going past the time, past ovulation, okay, and then start ovulating again. I've never heard of that. I don't think that's impossible today. See, Sarah, let's look at it again. Let's say it. Sarah also, it wasn't just Abraham, Sarah also herself, it's like it's purposely focusing in. This woman had something to do with this. Now, this miracle didn't happen just by Abraham's faith. It took both of them, and her faith was just as important as his faith. And I'm telling you right now, your faith is just as important as anybody else's. Amen. When it comes to this revival and you walking in what God has called you to do. We're going to have, by faith, receive dunamis. Preaching good tonight. Through faith, also, Sarah herself received dunamis, power, strength, to conceive seed. She began ovulating again. To conceive seed means there had to be an egg there to fertilize. We mentioned last week about Abraham getting quickened. Sarah passed away about 30 some odd years after this. But Abraham lived on a long time more, married another lady, and he had 6 more kids by her. The man got quickened, I tell you. Changed his body too. Now, I want to say it again. Through faith, how did this happen? It's through faith. She had to believe. And see, if you remember the lessons from 2 or 3 weeks ago, Abraham and Sarah, neither one started off believing. When they heard the word, when Sarah was in the tent, she heard God say, "You're going to have Sarah, your wife's going to have a baby about this time next year." She laughed. And the first time God told Abraham he was going to have a child in his old age, he laughed too. That helps me. They didn't start off believing. But they went from unbelieving to believing. Jesus says, "I want to be believed." We're in the process of going from knowledge to believing. Got that? Our mind is going to bow to the truth. Our mind is going to be deprogrammed from how this world thinks and reprogrammed to how God thinks. And that is exactly the reason that God sent a Dave Roberson into the earth to bring again to the body of Christ the true teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, who teaches these things spirit to spirit. They are spiritually discerned, and you're not going to get it going to university, going to Bible college, unless they teach you to get your hiney in a chair somewhere and pray in tongues. Let the Holy Spirit teach you these things, because it's got to be from spirit to spirit. Then your natural mind is going to bow to spiritual knowledge. It's just like Sarah's did. She had to come to the point of going, "I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what my body says. I don't care that I'm 90 years old. I don't care that I've quit ovulating. None of that is bigger than my God. None of that is bigger than my God." So she had to think about it. She had to go outside with Abraham. See, because faith is, we're in, back up to verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. That tells me she had to go. I'm sure Abraham got her by the hand and they went outside the tent together. Had to quit looking at that empty crib. They went out and looked at the stars of heaven. Or the sand in the desert, my Lord. And God said something impossible to them. Your seed is going to number like that, like the stars of heaven and the grains of sand. And they're looking in the mirror. I don't know if they had a mirror. But if you look in the mirror, 99 years old, not a pretty sight. 90 years old, not a pretty sight. Passed away of the time of women, looks impossible. Sarah goes, "Am I going to have pleasure from my husband again?" That's pretty plain. Okay, impossible with him too. They came to the end of themselves. That's why it says in Hebrews 4, excuse me, I didn't mean to. Leave it, Angie, leave it. It's good. Everybody, once in a while. We got to be real people, right? Okay. See, that's why in Romans 4, it says against hope, they had to believe in hope. You look in the mirror at 99 years old and you're past, you know, you're not a hot rod anymore and your wife is there. She's 90 years old and she's past the time of the way of women. There is no hope. That's hopeless. So against the hopeless, against that kind of hope, they had to believe in hope. And that's really where he's really been focusing on that. Let me interject that right here. See, a few weeks ago, again, these messages, I forget how long. But we went through a prophecy that was delivered in 2018 by Pastor Bronk Flint. Might have been the last service of the conference that year. It was in October of 2018. And the title was something like this. I have pruned the tree all the way back to the root. Something close to that. And I think if you'd have looked around at the empty chairs in 2018 and thought that was pruning, you look around at 2021, I think the pruning has continued. But he's really not talking about people so much as he's talking about pruning us. Yes, sir. So, in conjunction with this hope, I did that message about He's pruned the root. Okay, pruned us all the way back to the core. He's pruned the root all the way back to the core. That's the title, huh? Pruned the root all the way back to the core. Why? God's going to bring forth life in a way that we've never seen it before. What I mean is revival in a way that has not been seen in our lifetime, maybe nobody's lifetime since the book of Acts. He's got to start from a clean, new revelation of the gospel that is free from church tradition, free from false doctrine, free from immaturity. We are going to walk in love. By the way, the only thing he's given me on how to increase walking in love is the elder son. And since Alan mentioned him this morning, I'll mention him tonight. Because even after you listen to Alan's message, okay, I get it, Alan. I hear you. You're exactly right. Thank God for the gifts that he can use us that way until we learn to walk in love. My question is, Alan, can anybody tell me how I can walk in more love? Well, Pastor Dave gave us the answer for that with the four, what we call the four pillars, the word, prayer, fasting, and worship. But when it comes to image, the one he gave me was the elder son. You remember the prodigal son who got his inheritance and left and sinned, and he had to repent and come back. But there was an elder son who didn't do that. And he says he was always laboring, he was always working in his father's fields. But that didn't mean he knew the Father. And that was what Alan said today. He says, you can spend your whole life serving God and never know Him. That doesn't mean you're not saved, but I mean you never really know Him. And the elder son, to me, is the perfect example of that. The father was overjoyed when this prodigal son came back home. And the elder son wouldn't even call him his brother. He said, this, your son. He didn't say, my brother, your son has returned, you know. And you killed a fatted calf for him. Now see, what that tells me is, see, no doubt the father loved the prodigal. I mean, he was looking for that boy to come home every day. I love the story. When he saw him, it says a far way off. He booked it. He left the house. He went running, hugged that boy on the neck, brought him. I mean, it was rejoicing day. That love was in the father, but it was not in the elder son, even though the elder son always worked laboring for his father. It's exactly the illustration. Well, what's the cure? What would be the only cure for the elder son? Spend time with the father. In my mind, I see him going by Krispy Kreme donuts, getting at least two dozen, because the first dozen's always good. Stopping by Starbucks on the way, picking up a couple of nice Starbucks drinks, coming to the father. The father would be surprised because he never sees this boy. And so he's always out in the fields. He's glad he's not off in sin in the world, but I'm sure the father was surprised. Hello? What are you doing here? Well, I thought, you know, you and I don't ever spend any time together. A note has magically appeared. Oh, okay. You and I never spend any time together. I thought I'd just come away and be with you and just spend some time with you. I brought some Krispy Kreme and some Starbucks. Now, if they'd started talking, this elder son, I don't know how you picture this, but I just picture them around a little, maybe a round dining table. They're just talking, having a donut, having a little coffee. But as the elder son would try and just talk with his dad, he would notice the dad every now and then glancing out the window. I picture a picture window there that he can see down that dusty road that leads to the house. And so they're talking, but the elder son would notice every now and then the father would look, you know, and then he'd come back and engage and talk, and then he'd look again. After a while, you know, the elder son would go, what are you looking for? I notice you keep looking out the window. What is it you're looking for? And that father would say, my heart is broken for your brother. My son is dead. I keep hoping every day. Maybe this will be the day that my boy comes home. Now that elder son at first probably would be offended because he just does not have that love in him. But if he would have continued to spend time in fellowship with his father, eventually Because it's not going to go away in the Father. That love is there. It's going to be there the next time you bring donuts. It's going to be the next time you spend time with him. And after a little while, if the elder son loves his father at all, and I believe he did, that love that's in the father is going to start getting in the son. And he's going to start going, "Well, Dad, I didn't know you felt. I figured you was probably mad at him." He said, "Huh? Father, if you feel that way, would you like it if I went and looked for him?" And a ministry of evangelism was born. Can you see what I'm saying? And when he goes, he's not going just out of obedience, although he would have, because this was an elder son. He said he always labored in his father's fields. If the father would have sent him as a command, he would have gone, but that's not good enough, see? No. He needed to stay in fellowship with his father until the love that was in the father got in him. I'm telling you, that's just real good teaching right there. That's just really good stuff. That will transform your mind, too. That will transform your mind. You fall in love with the sinner, your whole life has changed. You fall in love with them. See, that's a real good illustration of a renewed mind. He would go through a total transformation where he didn't care about that brother at all. To now, he's willing to lay down his life for his brother and go search for him and preach to him. Let him know that the Father would take him back if he'll just repent. Of course, the gospel message is a little more than that. It doesn't include, you know, that just that story doesn't include the cross and all of that. But the essence of it is the Father loved his lost son and he wanted him back. And the truth of it is, the son who was working in the father's fields, just like the church today, did not have that same love in him. The only cure I can see, there may be another place, but for me, Gary, how are you going to increase in love? How are you going to walk in more love? How are you going to grow in love? There's only one way that I know of. I got to stop my busyness. I got to stop a lot of my activities. And just go spend time with my father. And is that not the blueprint? If you had to boil the blueprint down to just a sentence or two, wouldn't it be, "Come away with me, my beloved, come and spend time with me." In every way that we know, worship, the word, fasting, prayer, come away with me, come away with me. What's going to happen if we do that? The love that's in him is little by little, or maybe, I don't know how, I don't want to limit God. It could happen fast, I guess. But the love that's in him will get in us. When you're operating then from love, now that's 1 Corinthians 13. You're no longer just a clanging, you're no longer just a clanging cymbal. You're no longer just doing things out of obedience. You know, how did Alan say it this morning? You're no longer just a little child operating by the gifts. And thank God for the gifts. Now, I never intend to diminish the gifts. Thank God. But where he's called us to is a higher walk than that. So anyway, for me, the blueprint is essential. And even the prophecy subsequent, but they're all still, he has not yet taken away at all from that foundational prophecies. Come away with me, my beloved. Spend time with me. Dave was actually preaching this, now not quite to that extreme. He was preaching this from the beginning. I remember didn't you love how Alan said that? Alan, Sue and I just, we could have high-fived. He said, "I didn't understand the thing the man said for 5 years. Sue and I would come and we'd listen to Dave and he's teaching 90 miles above our heads, you know. We're driving home and we're kind of stunned, you know, and I'd look over at her and I go, "Are you better?" And she'd go, "Yeah, but I don't know why." One of us would say something along that line. It's like, "I know I'm better, but I don't understand anything the man said." But see, our spirit was receiving truth. It's your spirit. Your mind is going, "What in the world is the man talking about? He's out in La La Land somewhere." But your spirit was receiving truth. And that's how it works. That is how it works. Inside joke right there. Hallelujah. All right. Back to Hebrews 11:11 for a minute. See, through faith also, I love that also. It's not just Abraham. Through faith also, Sarah herself received dunamis. I'm going to say life-changing power. I'm going to say supernatural, miraculous working of the Holy Ghost. The one that lives in your belly. The one that lives in the Spirit of Christ on the inside of you. I don't mean He lives in your stomach. He lives in the core of your being. You're the tabernacle. You're the tent of meeting. You're a temple of the Holy Ghost with legs. But anyway, and was delivered of a child. In other words, her faith literally produced the result. Let me say it. I keep wanting to say it so many different ways. Then egg was produced that could not be produced. Her body, how about got younger? Her body was quickened. Remember in Romans 4, it says Abraham had to learn that God quickens the dead. Well, the subject matter right there is not talking about Abraham, who did believe later on that God would raise Isaac from the dead. But that's not the subject matter right there in Romans 4. He's talking about them receiving strength to conceive seed. So it's talking about Abraham had to come to the place where he believed God quickens the dead. And he's talking about his dead body. He's talking about Sarah's dead body. What I mean is dead when it comes to producing children. But Sarah had to get involved. She had to go out and she had to fill her mind with the hope. She had to see the hope of God's word. And then she had to say about herself, I am Sarah, which means princess, which normally means you think of a princess as being young, the one that's going to give birth to the heir. Had to see herself different and say exactly about herself what God said and say nothing else. But what happened when you do that? Well, she was delivered of a child when she was past age. There it is, when she was past age. How did that egg happen? Power of the Holy Ghost. You shall receive power. Dunamis. Because, now here's her faith. Because she judged him faithful who promised. Now see, this chapter, I want to read the verse again, starts off with Hebrews 11:1. Because it says plainly that she received this by faith, doesn't it? Through faith. Well, what is faith? Here's your Bible definition of faith, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, again, I'm following the pictures too as best I can. What he's showing me. See, right now, I see that prophecy again. He has pruned the root back to the core. Now, for example, one of the sentences in there, or maybe a paragraph in there, says, this building, talking about this house, there's no denying he's talking about this physical place right here, Tulsa, Oklahoma. 1818 West 86th Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74132. There. This place. Okay. He said, it's going to be filled again. Every seat will be taken. That includes those that are currently stacked against the wall. Because that's a seat. Every seat will be taken. There will be standing room around the walls. The altars, which that's a pretty big altar, will be filled with people getting born again and repenting of their sins. In one section of the church, healings will be happening. Another section of the church, deliverances will be happening. Drug addicts set free, alcoholics set free, all kinds of bipolar dementia, all kinds of stuff coming out. That's the hope. That's our starry night. That's the image that God has painted through the Word, through prophecy, delivered through Pastor Bronk Flint. And I'm as guilty as anybody else. I tend to come in and look at the empty chairs. How seldom do I go out on the starry night, if you'll allow me. How seldom do I go out and I say, I see every chair full. God, what you've promised, you're able to perform. Lord, I'm going to spend a little time here like Sarah had to. This didn't happen by accident. She had to work at it. She had to have that hope and hold it on the inside of her and make a conscious decision to believe what God said, no matter what her body said. God, I'm preaching good tonight. Thank you, Lord. We've got to take the word of God to us Every chair filled, standing room only, the altars filled, and healings and deliverance going on. That's, how did Dave say it? That's called church. That's what Jesus calls church. What we do and have been doing, and most of the church world is doing, Jesus wonders what that is. Got quiet right there. I put us in there too. Well, he didn't have meetings where nobody got healed. He didn't have meetings. I mean, he would teach. There's nothing wrong with teaching. He would preach. I think I'm doing both tonight. But see, he would teach, he would preach, and then he would heal. Well, the healing part, let's see. I hear that. Okay. Through faith, the prayer center also received power to bring the revival that God had assigned them to. Even though they seemed powerless and passed the time. The revival was delivered to them because they judged him faithful. Who has promised? God, that's good. That is so good. Close your eyes for a minute. Massage, before we do, massage your hoper. I know it's gotten dry and brittle from lack of use. Okay, limber it up a little bit. All right, hoper. Because hope has everything to do with what you see. Faith possesses hope. All right, so just say it with me. Say, Father,
I see
every chair in this building,
including the ones that are against the wall.
I see every chair filled.
Lord, I see standing room only around the walls.
Lord, I'm seeing these altars filled with people getting saved.
People repenting of their sins.
Backsliders coming back to God.
People getting filled and baptized with the Holy Ghost.
Lord, I see people being healed over in one section.
Blind eyes opening.
Deaf ears hearing.
The lame walking.
All manner of sickness.
All manner of diseases.
Healed.
First time.
Every time.
No exceptions.
And in another section of the church.
I see people getting delivered.
People are set free from alcohol.
People get set free from drugs.
All kinds of devils get cast out.
That means all kinds of mental diseases are instantly cured.
Bipolar disease is gone.
Paranoia is gone.
All kinds of mental disease.
And emotional upsets.
Are gone.
They've been delivered.
I have hope.
By my faith, Lord.
I receive.
What you have promised.
And I count you faithful.
What you have promised.
You are well able to perform.
There's a record in heaven being written.
That the prayer center also.
Received power to produce the revival.
Even when it seemed like they were past the time.
Because they judged you faithful.
Who had promised.
And what you have promised.
We are fully persuaded.
You are able to perform.
We give glory to God.
We do not stagger in faith.
We do not laugh at the promise.
We believe you, Lord.
It's time to believe.
And we are believers.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's just worship Him. I'm telling you, this is important. Shandalebreko. We worship You, Lord. We worship You, Lord. We're moving from knowledge to believing. We're moving from knowledge to believing. Thank You, Lord. You're showing us step by step, like little children, how to do this. We love You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. We're going from knowledge to believing. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Okay, one more nugget for you. One more nugget, and then we'll close for tonight. Go to Mark 11:24. See, Gary, I've heard that message preached out of Mark 11 1,000 times. Well, here's 1,001. You didn't learn your ABCs hearing them one time. See, that word received, I knew it was. My spirit told me it was, but I had to look it up to make sure it was. That Hebrews 11:11, where it says Sarah received seed. On the inside of me, I said, that's got to be the same received as Mark 11:24. So I looked it up in the Greek, and it is exactly the same. So Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you see it? Receive them. That's the same exact word used to describe Sarah in Hebrews 11:11. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now, hopefully at this point, we don't have to teach about when you stand praying, forgive. Surely, I think everyone here, most of the people watching, forgiveness is not an option. You don't have the right not to forgive because you were forgiven. When you had God's mercy is the only reason that you're going to make heaven. You did not deserve it. He forgave you and put the penalty on His Son. That's why forgiveness is not optional. That doesn't mean you have to agree with what they're doing. Doesn't mean you have to even hang around them a lot. But you cannot have unforgiveness. Anyway, that's not the subject. The subject tonight is receiving. Well, what things soever you desire. Well, what's been our desire? Revival. That's really the hook that God used with some of you like us 20 some odd years ago. Put a hook in your jaw. You got caught and brought here. And it's the hope of revival. It's the promise of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John being made manifest in the earth again. And you got, He hooked you with that. And He brought you here. That's the hope. So what things soever you desire when you pray, well, we get lots of answers, but primarily at the prayer center, what we're praying about is revival. Real revival. Believe that you receive it. Well, how did Sarah believe she received it? In spite of everything she saw. In spite of everything she felt. In spite of how her husband looked. In spite of what he could do or could not do. In spite of history. In spite of medical science that says you can't have a child after you stop ovulating. In spite of all of that, she believed that she received. And she had it too. Sarah received strength through faith. Sarah received strength in her old age, and it changed her body. Well, He's after us. I thank God. I'm believing Him for some quickening in my body. I think He's okay with that. Now, I am not praying that Sue has a child. She goes, thank you, thank you. But I am believing God for some quickening in both of our bodies. See, she is too, because we got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of work to do. I just renewed my passport. It'll expire when I'm 84. I'll still be traveling, if the Lord wills. You know, I had a thought for a moment. It's called doubt and unbelief. Should I renew my passport? I'll be 84. Says, your mother's 100. Oh. Oh, okay. I may renew it at 84. We'll see what He says. And they're going to get Sue's done this week. We're getting her started. Hers is expiring pretty. We have to believe for rejuvenation in our bodies also. We've got to ride on airplanes unless the Lord starts sending. He could send us by Trinity Airlines. I'm okay with that. I like that better. You know, be in Australia in time for breakfast. You know. Anyway, Mark 11. Therefore, I say, and see, this is how everything works. But see, this is calling in the lost. And every so often, we'll have one of those services where we ask you to take out a name. You know, take out a piece of paper, write a name of somebody you know is not saved. Could be a family member, could be a friend, could be anybody. Could be a speaker of the house. Could be anybody. Let's stay right now with friends and family. Let's not try and stretch our faith too far tonight, okay? Because Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest. So if we do that and believe we receive them, now their will has something to do with it. It's not quite the same as receiving a healing. But see, how often do we go back through that and revisit that and see them saved, you know? I've got a grandson right now that I'm so proud of. Both of my grandsons, I'm just so proud of them. But one of them is going to have a closer walk with God. They're both saved, okay? But one of them is going to have a closer walk with God. When I really pray about him, I get the word preacher all the time. Although if you asked him right now, he'd go, bet me. But see, my grandmother had 50 grandkids. 50. I'm one of 50 on my tier in the family tree. I'm one of 50. Out of all 50, she only had one Bible. Who did she give it to? Me. And I'm the only preacher out of the 50. But my grandmother prayed for me, and so did my grandfather. The devil tried to take me out early at age 5 with polio. Thank God I had praying Baptist grandparents, praying Baptist mamas. Hallelujah. Let's do it one more time. That was good for us. Let's do it again. Say after me. Through faith,
the prayer center
received power for a revival to flow through them.
Even when they were past age,
and it seemed too late, they received power. To produce a revival. Because the prayer center
judged him faithful.
Who had promised. Glory. Let's, this week, if we have a homework assignment this week, just take that one prophecy, it's available at Dave's website. I have pruned the root back to the core. If you don't have a printer, you let me know. I'll make sure you have a copy of it. Okay. But let's take that prophecy and let's engage our hoper. We're pretty good about the confession part. I don't think we're so good about the hoper part. Instead of just walking into the empty crib like we've been doing and seeing what is, let's spend some time incubating. Let's spend some time going out on the starry night. Let's spend some time closing our eyes and seeing every chair filled. The altars filled with people. Healing is going on in one place while deliverance is going on in another place. Glory to God. That is what He has promised. Read it for yourself. It's in there. We have a word from God no less than what Abraham and Sarah had. God is faithful. In fact, that's the other verse in Hebrews that we always teach faith on. So let's finish up with this one. I am trying to quit. Hebrews 11, verse 6. See, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Every time I see Jesus, just like I saw him come through the wall right over there between those speakers. He walked right over here, put his finger on, he's standing right about there, put his finger on the Bible and said, I want to be believed. That's called faith. I want you to believe this. I want the people to believe this. That's called faith, is it not? It is. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What's our reward? Revival. Revival. What things soever we desire when we pray, we're praying about revival. If we believe it, we shall have it. We will receive strength, power, the moving of the Holy Ghost to birth this thing. This revival is going to be birthed just like Isaac was birthed in the womb, through the womb of Sarah. It's created by God. Hallelujah. Okay, I got to quit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.